Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
What if you did a character? The father, Prince Succession.
We are here to see if we can raise a reasonable amount of money for a wonderful organization. Ball on the floor. If you're not planning on bidding, why are you sitting there enjoying your coffee? Go outside, get some air, f*** off.
It has taken 2 days to transfer all of his music. Yesterday, he said that he had 8 gigs of music, and I almost knocked everything on my desk over in rage because it's 1.8 terabytes.
We have a song from Rob's computer.
Yeah.
Would you like
Rob's please,
computer
please.
Sing
yeah.
for us? Here we go. Okay, all right. This is...
the most recent record I've added, as a matter of fact.
Remember, in these circles, because you get nervous around wealthy people. I've seen this firsthand. Your family.
He was so proud of that line, Mike. Laugh
harder.
It
was a good line. Yeah. I laughed. Yeah. It was a good line.
Yeah. Look how happy he is.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome to our show. We are heard all over the globe from a... Boy, you turned that down a lot from the... How you doing? Do you leave your hands on the board when you run a board, just out of curiosity, or do you just take your hands off completely?
Well, no, I mean, it depends.
Do you drive
on
it like a car, like Geronimo used to, you know, where his hands are on the steering wheel for a long time?
Or it depends on what's going on. If it's a talk break and there's no elements playing, I don't have my hands on the board. But like right now when you're talking, I've got my finger on the
fader. Well, I'll give an example. Turn your music off and I'll turn mine on. I'll give you an example of what I heard. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. It was really good, but then it just goes away.
Because he goes up and down on his music because he thinks it actually adds texture to the show. Yeah, that's a.
By the way, that's our new theme that doesn't get heard well.
Yeah, I don't know. What have we decided? Do we like that, or is it just Rob's OCD?
As far as the running of the board,
yeah, of the up and down.
I would
up
pay
and down.
For a board up.
What?
I would pay for a board up.
So but that's do he doesn't
it's
like
not in
it.
His skill set. and I have gone. I couldn't do it. Well, I could if we gave me a month. But it's hard to do to run 3 microphones and a couple of sound elements and all that. I've got my own. I run my own board here.
Sure.
You know, but it's frustrating.
What was the theory? I never understood like why you would go up and down with the music.
Well, it's nuanced when you... But you can't... Here's the difference, all right? So welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. You bring it down just a little bit.
Right.
But in that particular case, I notice occasionally you will notice it when the volume level goes down so significantly. So you say, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show.
It was too severe.
What happened? Was it too severe?
Perhaps it was, yeah.
Perhaps it was, or was it?
I would have to hear it back. I thought it sounded fine live on air, in real time,
kids
say.
But then again, you're up there and I'm down. Well, I sound like, who's the guy?
Herb
you're
Welch.
Up there and I'm here.
Jim Ryan
and Channel 5.
Yeah, exactly.
So perhaps it sounded bad just to me and not to... The listening audience.
To my ears, it was okay, but you know what?
I feel like sometimes I come in here and I feel like Gribbleys have gotten into the audio equipment overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And we tweaked it a little bit going in today. But people, there's a segment of our audience that cannot stand this behind the scenes chatter. There are other people that love it.
They love it. Oscar has his hand up.
May I weigh in?
Yes, please do.
Today is not a day to derail. Though, let me highlight that I don't think those ham hands to the right of me have the precision or dexterity to actually run a board the way that he wants to run a board. Because he's not viewing the board in real time. He's talking to you with his eyes locked on you and then moving the fader
but
up and down.
That part of his laser focus on the content of the show and where it is valuable to me.
You know who could ride that? Mr. Ponyboy Matt Bloom, he's got actual physical faders in front of him.
I do.
Faders.
Yeah, why don't you play it and see what he can do?
Well, okay, Pony, I'm going to bring up, this is going to be, Let's see. You're going to have to hear the open again. Hold on.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. So stupid. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara
Show. Are we going to cut this out in post?
No.
Let's get started.
Here's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, Mike, here comes your cue, pony. Get ready.
Oscar Santana. It's on iPad 2. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We are enjoying our second decade of the show that has become a daily routine for thousands of listeners. And now, that sounded... turned it off.
What a jerk.
That sounded perfect to me.
Wait.
That's so perfect to me.
What was your technique, Pony? Tell the world.
Basically, I touched the fader and pulled it down slowly.
A little bit, right?
Yeah, just a little bit.
And then back just up a little slowly. Bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then down slowly.
Yeah. How did that sound to you, Rob?
Thought it was a little hot.
I thought it was great. Pony, from
Severn,
now on,
Arizona.
You ride it.
Hobbit of Grace, Maryland. Santa Clara, California. Marshall, Virginia. Minnesota City, Minnesota. Buenos Aires, Argentina. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now.
See, you're fighting with them. Your voice is fighting with the music. Music is too hot right now.
I thought you sounded
Are you
good.
Being legitimate? Legitimate.
No, I thought you sounded great.
I think it started out perfect, but by the time you get to the cities, it needs to be quieter.
Would you rather hotter or no sound?
I'd rather no sound than too hot.
No, no sound is awkward.
People are tuning in to hear Mike, not the theme.
Then why do you ride it at all?
Quit riding me.
You told me.
We got to ride you a little more, and then we're going to get to the major story of the day.
News.
Concerning this show. Major news. The news will be coming. But we have to talk about the computer from Mr. Rob Spiewak. Who Rob explained the other
Can
day.
Can I please turn this music down a little bit?
Yes. Okay,
Jesus.
Yeah, ride the board. Go back to the way we did it. Thank you. Now you can turn it off.
Yes.
All right. So
Pony, this is called a slow fade.
Lots
and it's
of
gone.
Texting going on.
Yes.
Let's see. I'm going to go back. All right. So the other day, yesterday, we were talking. I'm sorry. It would be Tuesday. Mm-hmm. We were having a discussion about Rob Spiewak's computer.
Right.
And it was an interesting discussion because you said you've had your computer for
11 years.
11 years.
Yes.
Now, in the world of people that work with computers, at least in our business, you hear if you've got a computer 3 years, you're getting a little bit long in the tooth on that.
Yeah.
4 years, too long. 5 years, replace the darn thing because it's gotten better. So 11 years is quite the length of time. And then later in the day, how did Pony get into your computer?
I brought it in.
Oh, you brought it in from home?
Yeah, because what happened is it was acting a little fluky on Sunday, was able to get everything done, and I got up on Monday morning and it kind of booted and yeah. I couldn't open Chrome.
We'll add this to our social media page. So
yeah, exactly. It wouldn't open Chrome. And I said, well, this is bad.
Yes, yes.
So I brought the computer in. I said, Pony, can you look at this? And Pony, there are things that he does because he does them. And then Oscar will back me up here. There are things that Pony loves. Pony loves opening a computer, especially something like this is an iMac. So it's sealed. It's like one unit.
He does.
And he loves going in and doing the little screws and doing the bezels and everything.
Yeah.
And so he opens the computer and he says, I think I got this. You go back to your office and we'll work on it. And then he texts out this photo and, for this, I can hand it over to us.
There we go.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
Thank you. Looks like Chernobyl blew up in there.
Yeah, it's not pretty.
A full reactor picture.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
beautiful right there.
Oh, that's a fantastic
that's
photo.
That's gunk.
That is gunk. Because I got to
gross.
Thinking.
All that dead skin.
Yeah, well, I mean, the computer, if you have a computer for 11 years, you'd say it's probably been on half the time that I've had it. So let's conservatively say that computer has been running for 5 years. And for that 5 years, there's been a fan in that computer sucking in gunk. And so Pony brings me in and he says, look at this. This is probably why your computer doesn't work. It's because it looks like the last episode of Chernobyl. And it was a little disconcerting.
I would say it's embarrassing.
And embarrassing.
Yes.
Thank you.
I think everybody's computer would look like that if you opened it up.
I do too. But also, I just...
How long would it take a computer to get gunk in it? A year?
Pony, what do you think?
That level of gunk... probably 6 years, and at a certain point, it just no more dust can stick to anything.
Yeah, because there's already a coating.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It's like a protective coating of filth.
And it's not the
filth.
Kind of thing that...
Great word.
Can I interrupt for a second here? When Pony sent out that picture, I thought he had gone online to find a picture of a dirty computer.
No,
I didn't know
this was real.
Until yesterday when I came in here. I said, was that really Rob's computer? That's just amazing. That's
yeah, it's interesting because it's not an I guess the indictment isn't on, and this is what you really can help me out with.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people would find this fascinating. I can buy into you not caring about what you look like and not buying a new set of trousers or shirts for like roughly a decade. That's fine. I get that.
You know what the best part of this is the fact that he started his comment with that.
May I continue?
I would like a quick sidebar. I want to thank Oscar for buying me all the clothes he did. I put on another new pair of jeans
today. Jeans look great.
And
they're
fantastic. Yes. They're really, really nice. He's so generous and so kind.
I am.
Really a good guy.
Thank you.
You know what he does, Mike? He'll come in with a warm word and a kind smile.
Right.
Because he's just really, if I had to just boil him down to one word.
Work with me here.
Good.
Work with me here.
Good.
I get that you're not going to reinvest in your appearance. But you work with computers every day.
Mm-hmm.
Why the 11-year gap?
Because nothing bad happened up until this moment.
No, we have had issues in the past. Pony, back me up. He's had issues with his computer in the past.
Yeah, occasionally. Yeah. And issues with his iPads not syncing, which is
That's more of an iPad issue than
I don't think you're going to have an issue now.
I think it's all together.
Yeah.
So what did you do with his computer, Pony?
Oh, the old one? I took the hard drive out of it, and then I'm just going to like kick the thing down the stairs.
Yeah,
it's really funny because Pony uses the control room as his office, and I'll go in and out occasionally during the day if there's session work or whatever. And every time Pony comes in and out of the office, he kicks my old computer.
But Mike,
so your computer's gone.
Well, no, it's
I told
there,
Pony to throw it away.
But it's dead.
February and March is like Christmas for you, Rob.
It is.
I mean, you're just getting all sorts of new stuff.
I told Pony to throw it away. I don't need him taking it back home, hooking it back up, and somehow it's squirreling away into a workflow again.
No, it's not. The hard drive is gone, Oscar.
Mike,
there's nothing that'll work.
You've
in
been
it.
Generous enough to sanction a new computer, so thank you.
Yes, that is most appreciated. Yes. I cannot wait.
Yes.
The thing is, it's a museum piece.
It's gorgeous. All right, calm down. Of all the expenses that I've gotten, that I've had on this show, where I have used, I always call it embezzling. Of all the funds I've embezzled, I've probably embezzled more funds for computers than any other. Wouldn't that be safe to say?
Because it's part of your workflow.
Well, that's the way I always look at it. That you want the fastest, and by the way, I've got three of them, and one of them's not being used.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to scrub it and give him that
Please.
One as a backup, but I think that's an old one. I think that's a really old one.
I'm sure it's not 11 years old. Old for
but
you
I'd like
is
to
three
figure
years.
Out how we could. We've had that lying around, and I'm holding it for Michael to use for school.
Got
so
it. Okay.
I don't know.
Can you please back me up here? Am I wrong to think that a man that works with like electronic files would actually think about maybe upgrading his own machine in 11 years?
It was so reliable, though. It was great. I loved it. I love that computer.
You're talking about it. Rob fears change. You're better at just, you know, the only thing new that you care about is a new television. That's as far as I
to watch old movies
to you,
on.
To watch old movies on. But I mean, you like new televisions.
I do. But
yeah,
I'm so.
Like
by the way, the computer I use for my sound effects, 2014.
Yeah,
so that's not brand new. That's
yeah, but it's only running one program.
Okay,
and it's a laptop.
Yeah, but it's still 8 years old. So by your logic,
11-year-old desktop.
Eight is closer to 11 than it is to 5.
They don't even make firmware that updates that thing.
I know, but what I'm saying is, by your logic, that 2014 is ancient as well.
That should go to
the MacBook Air that I'm using for show prep and other sundry things, 2020.
Yeah. Oh, that's
perfect. I've got a 2020.
What about your Mac Mini, 2021?
The Mac Mini that I'm using for communicating with the cameras here. Let's see.
1988.
I think it's a 2020. 2019.
Let's see what we've got here.
The 2020 model had a picture of Hugh Downs on it.
Let's
remember,
see.
I was walking.
It's a 2020.
Yeah. Hey, good memory.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
2020. So very, very updated and very modern. The horrible iPads, much older, I'm sure. I don't know how
to tell. Well, you don't use them anymore, so we wouldn't buy new ones.
Yeah, I use them like that. I like this.
Yeah, there's some sound effects on them.
That's either
Hi, everybody.
It's a stopwatch.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show, where we're talking computers and dust and all that nasty stuff that's
for
there.
Those of you at home.
Oh, Rob's got a computer. We got a computer.
If you're using an old computer, it's not about it works. You could cut your workflow in half, especially if you're editing, with a new chipset.
Understood.
Yeah. Like, you don't have to wait for anything to render. It renders.
What are you doing?
Faster is better. Right, Pony?
I totally agree, especially when you have a hoard of ancient audio that you've built up over 11 years. It has taken 2 days to transfer all of his music. Yesterday, he said that he had 8 gigs of music, and I almost knocked everything on my desk over in rage because it's 1.8 terabytes.
We have a song from Rob's computer.
Yeah.
Would you like to hear Rob's
please,
computer
please.
Sing
yeah.
for us? Here we go. Okay, all right. This is...
The most recent record I've added, as a matter of fact.
I've been away from you a long time.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd miss you so.
See, now I'm using all my stuff, you know. Well, who's responsible for this?
Obama.
Right, no, he's
you.
Not.
Thank you very much.
No.
Oh, you're getting in trouble, Mike.
Yeah, I know.
Although
I know
Obama was president when I bought the computer.
Speaking of getting in trouble for saying things about political leaders.
Yes.
I'd like to clarify. Mm-hmm. Got a very nice letter from a listener who was disappointed at my panning of Joe Biden with his speech. And I have to make it very, very clear. I was not in any way, shape, or form attacking the message of Joe Biden. I revere Joe Biden. I do. I think he is a very special human being. I think the idea of essentially coming out of retirement to run for president because he felt it was his duty to do that. I believe that with all of my soul. And I also think for a man of his age to be taking on that kind of responsibility is a Herculean effort. And I think it's tremendous that he's done that. And I think the people who have blatantly thrown darts at the man about cognitive difficulties, I don't think you put together an organization like he's put together when you have cognitive difficulties. What Joe Biden has is a stutter. And what I was trying to articulate to our listening audience is that when I watch him speak, I am squarely in the camp of rooting for him. Mm-hmm. I want him to do well. I want him to hit it out of the park. I want him to get through a speech without one of those stammers. So when I'm watching him deliver the State of the Union address, I truly, truly feel anxiety. And that's what I was articulating because, you know, somebody said to me, you wouldn't mock FDR for not being able to walk when you're mocking Joe Biden with a stutter. I understand that there are people with speech disabilities all over the United States, and they are to be, you know, nurtured and supported and all of that. And I think from that standpoint, if there was one critique that I would own for that, yeah, I think it is what it is, and maybe I shouldn't do it. But I had to articulate how I feel. I had to be honest about watching him speak, and being president of the United States, one of the main jobs of a president is to be a communicator. So I root for Joe Biden, but I also wanted to share the anxiety when he stammers at a particular point during the speech. I get frustrated. I get frustrated because he's my guy. That's all.
We agree 100%, and I believe we said this, and we talked about it yesterday, and I think if they listen back, we made every effort to articulate this, that it was just that we're rooting for him, and we want it to be better. We want it to be best for him, and we had no problem with the message or anything like that. So, yeah, I stand for
Square. Mike didn't make a Porky Pig reference. I remember that.
Well, it's also a comedy show.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
That was a funny
but
movie.
I said that I was waiting for the moment where it would be, I'll have a blue. And those are the moments that I just, come on, can't you just get through that?
Please,
And do it. So I get frustrated because I love the message.
Yeah,
I did. I like the man. I love the man. I really do. I think the guy has been through unimaginable tragedy in his life. And has risen above it and gotten through it. And at the same time, we are living in such a divided world that not only does he come in as an old man to the office of president, but in this time where if you don't think the way I think, yeah, people throw rocks at you, you know?
Right.
I caught it at Happy Valley yesterday, a little more pointed than I like to catch it. But I'm trying to be chill and trying to be, you know, but I still get labeled down there. I'm used to it. It's it's the way it happens. And, you know, it's frustrating sometimes. Sometimes you want to scream and yell, and that doesn't do anybody any good.
Right.
I think at the root of what that message, I guess, was bringing to light, and you've owned it, is that, yeah, we're supporters, but when you're rooting for someone, you want it to be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want a speech delivered out of central casting. Yeah. You want Jeff Bridges in that movie that we like so bad.
You would agree, though, even if it was perfect, they find another reason to hate it.
Of course they do. But the oratory, when I go back to, there was a president, Ronald Reagan, known as the Great Communicator. Mm-hmm. And Ronald Reagan was an actor, and he was fantastic
at it. First and foremost, an actor.
And he was great at doing that. Well, I'm just this is the way. And he just had a style about him that was comforting and warm and engaging. Barack Obama was an amazing orator. He would give a stem winder. And it's interesting when Oscar says, and they'll throw darts at some other aspect of your performance. Yeah. In Obama's case, it would be, you know, anybody can read a teleprompter.
Yeah.
That was it. But it's not true. People cannot wear. Donald Trump couldn't read a teleprompter. You know, Joe Biden's got the stammering going.
Yeah.
We all want, it frustrates me because
they
should
pre-tape
for him.
It.
Pre-tape
with a lot of cutaways, graphics.
We'll do it live.
Hey, this year, because of the supply chain and COVID, we're going to pre-tape this and then play it clean.
Right, exactly.
What you identified, what you identified, Oscar, is the thankless nature of that job.
And, of course.
And doing that job and standing up in front of everybody and doing it. It's the same as when you and I or Rob do an auction, which I've agreed to do.
Good for you.
The last one I did was before COVID. I say yes because my friend, my really good friend, asked me personally, will you do me a favor? Mm. And I believe the exchange... I can give you the exchange because it was he acknowledged that I don't really want to.
We did
do
the patrons.
You did this year. It was virtual, right?
Art auction.
How'd that go?
Wonderful.
They really have their
wonderful.
S together.
Wonderful.
They have their S together.
Next year, we put a full court blitz out to our listeners because you can now do a virtual people.
Yep.
And it's beautiful. The people there are great. We actually have a piece of their art in my office hanging.
I'm looking back because I want to see.
Here we go.
This is Oscar.
No, we're just drawing names. But the virtual side, it'll be a hybrid next year. It's not just easy. It's just the people are so nice.
Yes.
So nice.
Yes.
This is on February 7th. I get this.
Okay.
Hey, I forgot to ask you, would you mind be kind enough to MC the blah, blah, blah at blah, blah, blah? I know it's a pain, blah, 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 but could you do it for me? And I said, for you, yes. That's
this is the Proud Boys charity?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Proud Boys. deeply appreciated. So that it's made very clear that this is a solid for him.
Right.
And he's done more solids than I've done for him. So I say, yes. This is also rarefied air auction time.
Yeah.
This is the one where we were right at the beginning of COVID when I did the last auction.
I remember.
And my opening line, we were just finding out about keeping our hands washed and wearing masks.
Don't touch your face.
Don't touch your face. That we're at that area. And I went, I got up on the podium and I said, it was really nice getting to work the room and meet so many of you and shake hands with so many of you. I'm very grateful to meet all of you. And my COVID test comes back tomorrow. And crickets.
Yeah.
Nothing. Mm. Just nothing.
That's
I
tough.
Thought that would have been.
It was a killer line.
Too
yeah.
soon.
Yeah. Well, you
classic
know,
example.
People were
too
dying.
Soon. I'm doing it straight.
No, people weren't dying yet.
People were scared of dying.
They were scared of dying, yes. But they weren't dying yet.
I'm doing it. I am going to go full Sotheby's. I am going to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm going to be, we have a lovely item. This item is going up. This is very exclusive. We will start the bidding.
I got it.
I might even like do
Mike,
a character almost. Yes.
Mike, remember in these circles, because you get nervous around wealthy people. I've seen this firsthand. Your family.
He was so proud of that line, Mike. Laugh harder.
It was a good line. Yeah. I laughed. Yeah. It was a good line. Yeah.
Yes. Got look how happy up. He is.
Got that coming up in a couple of weeks, too.
You just have to be, instead of looking at yourself like a DJ, because that's what we have this chip in us.
Yeah, you right? want to be you want to be irreverent.
No,
and you
want
to be shticky.
How about this? You are a minority owner in a media company. Walk in with that air.
All right, this is how it'll go then. All right, here we go. So I go up to the podium. thank you, Rothschild. Good evening, everyone. We're here for a wonderful cause this evening. Maybe I'll keep my eyes like this. Tonight is a night where we can do some real good, and I hope you are able to do it with me. And I just hope during these difficult times, we've come through COVID, and the world is a very scary place, and I think we can carve out our little segment of goodness, and hopefully we can do that tonight, if you will respond.
Yes.
Let's bring up the first item.
Yes.
No, hold it.
No, I got it.
Okay.
Before we get started, I would like, I've been told that there is a Bentley Flying Spur with its lights on outside.
Well, Mike, let me.
Oh, the other line that didn't go over?
Yeah.
Incidentally, due to the fact that this virus is, what's the word I want to use, is disproportionately affecting senior citizens, people over the age of 70. I'd like to ask all the husbands to leave the room right now, but you wives can stay.
That's funny.
But they didn't like it. They didn't like that either. No. Young wife, trophy wives.
This phrase has come up several times this week. Let me offer this. Maybe what you need is a slightly more intense presentation. What if you did a character? And you did. The father from Secession.
We are here to see if we can raise a reasonable amount of money for a wonderful organization. Ball on the floor. If you're not planning on bidding, why are you sitting there enjoying a coffee? Go outside, get some air. F*** off.
They would respond to that.
They might.
There you are. I don't need a room full of people that are not going to participate. If you're not going to participate, please cajole the person next to you to participate. There. Are we ready now?
Get Roman on the phone.
Let's get it. Yeah.
What about the line?
No, I won't. I might not be as shticky as I was last time.
Well, your level of like a straight delivery will have some shtick in it because that's who you are.
You'll react to the room. You will play the room. You'll gauge the room.
How about this? How about I warm the crowd up, walk up to the podium, and thank you. It's nice to be here. Just one little thought before we get started. It's easy to grin. If your ship has come in and you've got the stock market beat. Hello, sir. Boy, look at that guy. See, I already want to launch into it.
Hey,
look at that man. Look at that man running for the mess room. I christen thee the flying wasp. Anyway, the anxiety.
Any chance you'll look at anyone in the front row and just say, how much you weigh, Tiny?
Do the full wrinkle.
Yeah, exactly.
Do the full wrinkle. Welcome. How you doing? You having a good night? Is that your wife? Oh, my God. Wow. She's going to have a really long, fruitful life when you're worm food. Yeah. Yeah. I'm meaning to say you're old.
We're going to let you sit in the sun today.
Yeah. Huh?
That's right. Oh, it's nice to see you, though. It's glad. And for you, ma'am, I'm glad he's sitting upright and eating cake.
A few bites.
That's really.
Do you know the auction items?
What's that?
Are the auction items?
No, not yet. Oh. I won't know those. It's one of those things. I won't know dickless until I walk in the room. Mm-hmm. And then it'll be like lined out. Chicken scratching things. You know what they are. You know the way these things work. How about this? How about I open by saying, I wish I had a nickel for every nickel you all had.
Now, you can't come in. You can't shame them for their success.
No.
That doesn't.
But I'd sure like
to. I know.
Now we're going to bid on lovely Lacey Underall, who's going to cook dinner for four in her own home.
I go back. I remember auctions. So I told you about the auction I did for my girl's school.
Yes.
When she was going to a private school. First of all, there were a number of mommies that had contacted the headmaster thinking I shouldn't do it because of the show we did, because we did kind of
a shock jockery
show.
Well, Mike, you made your money as a shocking disc
jockey. Your fortune.
Yes. And I'll never forget the headmaster of the school who said to me, look at this. If we were to get Al Pacino to come here and do an auction, we wouldn't base the auction on his performance in Scarface. Yeah. I'll never forget that. And I said, that is just such a beautiful way to do it. So they poo-pooed them. Then, back at the time when I had a bustling Irish pub, and I offered for the auction, dinner for eight.
Wow.
With wine at my little pub. Now, I know it's not a fine dining establishment, but we had a beautiful, as you remember, a beautiful little dining room.
Great dining room.
That could accommodate eight people very comfortably. And we offered the food and the drink. And I remember trying to get bids for that. And it was so obvious to me that we're not going to bid on that Irish.
It's not. It wasn't you. It's the stench of Manassas.
The stench of Manassas.
Be that as it may, I was very. And then the next one was a dinner for four in Puffy Longstocking's kitchen. Puffy's going to make her famous blah blah blah, and like everybody was tripping over themselves. Listen, Rob and I want to talk when we do the TV corner. We'll talk about both the Inventing Anna and the Gilded Age, which have connective tissue with New York society. It's about who you are and what you know. It's snobbery.
It is.
It's pure snobbery. And I'm finally there with saying, damn you, snobbery. I'm doing this as a favor. I'll get in and out, but I'm not going to give. I used to like drive to these things and I'd think about my opening line and really try to craft it that it would be funny. I don't think it's ever appreciated enough.
No, it's not the right crowd.
So that's that.
You have the skill set to play the room. You come in, you make one current event comment at the front and then play the room. That's all you do. And here's the problem is I've done auctions.
How about if I go, I love Vladimir Putin.
What has he ever done to you?
He's never hurt me.
You should walk in and say, I hope everyone's yachts are in the Maldives. They're safe there.
May all of your yachts not have a connection to any oligarchs. How about I just come in and say, hello, oligarchs?
That would be that might play.
No, that is not going to work.
Will you know anybody in the audience?
Not really.
See, that's another problem is I've done some.
They bring in a TV anchor, too. So I normally introduce the TV anchor.
Ladies and gentlemen, Leon Harris.
Because old people love their TV.
They do.
So that's the way. And the guy from one of the stations down here is super nice. Really, really good guy. Super nice, really. Chatted with him for a long time.
Really, really nice.
So anyway, we'll see what happens with that. But
it's a month away.
It's a month away.
And you're already dreading it.
I don't like it. I go back. I have all these horrible memories. You remember when the one guy grabbed the microphone out of my hand and said, let me show you the way this is done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What an insult. I should have walked at that, but you're trapped. You don't want to appear petty, but I should have walked. I was like, take it away. Carla, get the car.
Yeah.
Let's go. You know?
You should have said, there's one thing I know how to do, and then kick him in the nuts.
Something bad happened to that guy, too, after that.
What?
Yeah.
Like
karma.
Like
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. With a gun.
God knows.
It really did. I don't want to go into the details. But
and it's Mike. It's like certainly
took
not.
Took a dark turn. Probably an oligarch.
Certainly not funny.
No, I was sitting there talking to my buddy that owned the joint where the event was held. I said, hey, so has that guy been back in? Oh, you didn't hear? No, he died. So that kind of a story. Yeah. I have auctions and me, you know, they go, the best one, and I always go back to years and years and years and years ago, guy named, I think his name was Pete Manos, and he was the CEO of Giant Food, the grocery store chain.
I think that's the right name,
And I was doing things like auctioning off hockey pucks from the Washington Capitals, and we were getting $500 for them because Pete Manos was touching his vice presidents and making them bid. It was spectacular. It was the same night. That was the same night that I met. This is how long ago this was that I met both Jimmy Dean and Frank Perdue. Mm. Jimmy Dean, spectacular guy. Hi, this is my sausage. I got my wonderful sausage. Frank Perdue, D-I-K, Dick.
Yeah, he has that reputation. But
he's
so
dead. dead. They're both dead now.
So that was had to have been like, was
he
that?
He has that reputation. That's the way you think of the past, isn't it? Clark Gable has a very difficult reputation these days.
He had that reputation, I should say. But that had to have been like a big giant food auction then, because they would call in the providers and everything. Or
yeah.
Oh wow, that's
a big deal. It was the main auction for giant food. I forgot it was somewhere in Maryland.
You were in.
I bet Mac McGarry was there.
I don't know. There were a lot of people there. Yeah. Famous people.
You were the Illuminati of grocery.
Yeah.
It was. It was fun. It was one of the, and was, I still remember. I remember going, I can't lose, because the boss was down front making his executives bid on the items. It was
so cool.
Most people don't want to be separated from their money. No matter,
you're right.
Unless it's a real steal.
Yes.
You know, we have a Swiss chalet for you skiers out there for $1 a night. Hands everywhere, you know. That's
if it's
the way
a deal.
That goes.
But the weird thing, it was an auction for giant food. He said, "So we have a bunch of bananas."
We'll start that at 2:25. We got to go. We got to take a break. When we come back on the show today, after we do the homepage, Oscar's take coming up next. We will have a very in-depth look at a very big celebrity controversy. Mm-hmm. And he can't defend himself because he's dead too.
Mm.
He has that reputation.
That's right. Jerry Lewis was a perv. We'll be right back.
Romeo and Juliet. Antony and Cleopatra. Bogey and Bacall. Add to that list another one of the world's greatest love stories. Mike and Carla O'Mara. Their love is like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in June. Their love is like the melody that's sweetly played in tune. And nowhere is that love story more on display than the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Yes, fall in love with love again and again with our Mike O'Mara Bonus Show subscription. Lovingly tap the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Love that promo.
And order the TMOS Bonus Show today.
Carla,
you'll love it. Just like Carla loves Mike.
How's the production? Any production coming out of California, Rob? What's your take on it?
Oh, they're going to continue. Absolutely.
Okay.
He's in the middle. He's in the middle of a move right now, so he's got stuff packed away. But yeah, absolutely.
Twitch and Amato. I don't want to break up the dream team.
I had a lovely going away meal with Twitch last Saturday at Jimmy's, and he's doing well. So he sends his best, and the partnership continues.
Please pass along my best congratulations on your new gig, Twitch. We wish you the very, very best of luck. It was John Allen Paulos who once said, "The only certainty in the world is uncertainty. The rent stays the same as before."
Mike is the only mimic that does Paulos. Mm-hmm.
With everything happening in the world today, it seems like he was correct. However, there are two things that you can be certain of. The Fed is going to raise rates on March 16th, and my friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial are the only mortgage company that you should reach out to. Is the only mortgage company that you should reach out to if you're looking to purchase or refinance. The low rate window is closing fast, and if you're looking to take out cash for any reason, like saving money and enjoying the tax deductibility, the time to act is now for those looking to purchase a new home. Why not call today and see what they can do for you? With their 100% satisfaction guarantee, Cornerstone Financial is certain to win your business. Whether a purchase or refi, call Cornerstone First Financial, the number one choice of the Mike O'Mara Show listener. And now licensed in 41 states. So even if you tried them before, try them again. Call 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. And we thank you. And now, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for one of America's favorite features, Oscar's Take.
Take Oscar.
A review and comment on the news of the day, as only our Bolivian bloviator can do it. The views expressed by Oscar Santana in no way reflect the views of the Mike O'Mara Show, its listeners, or the right-thinking people of the United States. I give you, ladies and gentlemen, Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
Ready.
Oscar, Pat Sajak wants everyone to stop mocking those Wheel of Fortune contestants who went viral this week for epically failing to solve a puzzle. He said, "You don't understand the stress these people are under unless you've been there." That was when the puzzle was another feather in your cap.
Right.
And they said hat and map and bat, and it was terrible.
It's cat.
It was funny. It cat. Was very funny. I watched it when it aired, actually. It was fun.
What say me?
Yes, what say you, Oscar?
Okay.
You're listening to Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
We'll get this
Oscar,
right.
What do you think about
brand
that
new show.
One? Let me set it up. Oscar, so Pat really does gets mad at people mocking them on viral video. I'm curious, now that you've heard that story that I just finished reading, what would you say is the is your... How would you interpret that?
In your mind?
Yeah. Hold on, let me start again. Oscar, first of all, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey, how do you feel about that particular story from Pat Sajak yelling at people and saying, don't mock the contestants?
A gentleman, thank you for asking. I feel like we're being conned. He gets upset when they give away $100,000 3 days in a row. He gets upset when the contestants are too dumb. He gets upset anytime something happens out of the ordinary that affects the game, yeah. Right?
He's prickly.
Yeah,
he is.
And
he is.
If you remember, we go back to the pedal gate where we thought there was a pedal.
Right.
That was attached to the wheel.
Yeah, like in the old days of the sideshow, Mike.
He could speed it up and slow it down. Oh, you're bankrupt again. After and what a coincidence. Well, let's think about Wheel of Fortune for a second. Why so many people win the $1 million little card, and then right after that they get the bankrupt? Huh?
Yeah.
Is that coincidence?
And then after that, many of them pass away.
Also,
yes.
There's no separation of church and state. Because he's an owner-operator. He owns the game, and he operates the game, so he benefits when people lose.
Is he the owner?
No, Merv owns it.
No, but he owns a piece of Wheel of Fortune.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Well, I did not know that either. I didn't know that.
So he's working on commission. I owe.
No, but you can't help but take off the manager hat.
Yeah, this is true. And he's prickly.
Yeah, he's prickly.
Well, he's a dick.
You're listening. Thank you. Anyway, I think we covered that.
Yeah.
You're listening to
Oscar's Take.
Oscar, there are certain stories that jump off the page when I'm going to do this feature with you. Melinda Gates, first post-divorce interview, airs today. It aired on today's CBS Morning show. In case you didn't know, Bill had an affair back in 2000. Melinda said, quote, "I certainly believe in forgiveness, so I thought we had worked through some of that. It wasn't one moment or one specific thing that happened. There just came a point in time where there was enough there that I realized it wasn't healthy and I couldn't trust what we had. I do feel like I'm turning a page in the chapter now. I'm actually really excited about what's to come in the life ahead."
Mm.
That's Melinda Gates.
Gates.
Look.
On the CBS Morning Show.
All men want is a woman that can keep a secret. And clearly, Melinda Gates, she's a good egg. She knew that Bill, you know, behind those glasses and those terrible dress shirts, he was a horny dude.
Sure.
Yeah, and, who'd have thunk it, right?
Yeah, and the $200 million house on the Seattle lakefront, full automation, all of that, like, just let her, like, la, 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 not a big deal. Okay, we'll make this work. The private island, like, let her forget about his transgressions. But when it finally the push came to shove, I believe, and this is alleged, is the Epstein situation. When rumors started coming out, like, how is the connection to this man who they've done so much good together?
Right.
You know, and he might have played a hokey pokey with some subordinates, but they've done so much good together. That she finally said, enough is enough. I don't want to be associated with him. I'm just going to take half his fortune and move on with life.
Mm-hmm. So you're team Melinda, it sounds like.
Yes. She Very kept, good. Look, she kept the secret for almost 20 years.
That's truly amazing.
It's a good egg.
Yes.
Who'd have thunk he was that horny? You're listening to Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
I mean, we all remember Windows 7.
Yes.
That was a great year for them. Windows 10, not so much.
Well, the weird thing is Bill Gates was looking in Windows 7.
Oh, he's happy now. Look at him. He likes that.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. We gotta, oh, I go to clinics. Anyway, that's what that one was, Rob. That was funny. Looking in Windows 7.
That is too funny.
I see you.
You're listening to Oscar's Take. Sorry about that. Oscar, Jeannie Buss became owner of the LA Lakers when her father Jerry died in 2013. But before that, she was just a regular girl lusting over her favorite players on social media. Some of Jeannie's tweets from more than a decade ago went viral this week, and they're wonderful. Let's listen to a few of them, shall we?
Do.
Number one, met Johnny Flynn of Minnesota Timberwolves before game. If I had number one pick, I would draft him. He's a cutie. Here's her next one. Just met Kevin Love from UCLA / Timberwolves. He may replace Tony Parker as hottest guy in NBA. This is Jeannie Buss. Number three, Lamar, take your pants off. We scream as he checks into the game. Number four,
oh dear.
The Minnesota T-Wolves are now my second favorite NBA team, and that has nothing to do with you, Kevin Love, even though you're hot. She liked Kevin Love. That's
wow.
A second one. And number five, on the bus headed to Staples, Chris Paul isn't playing tonight. He's a cutie. There's Jeannie Buss.
How old is
she? The daughter of a... She, I don't know. I mean, it's a decade ago, but I'm not sure how old it is. She's the daughter. She's probably older now.
Right.
Probably 40s or 50s now, I would think,
yeah.
Right? But this is a decade ago. She was hot for the players. I think that's exciting.
See, this is what's strange in this world of like even Stevens, which I think is appropriate.
Right.
Is I personally don't have a problem with this.
She's 60 now. So she was 50 when she was making the tweets.
Okay.
If this was an executive or a team owner, and this is not like man versus women BS, so don't think I'm going down that road. I'm wondering if this would be considered like some sort of harassment if this was a man.
I don't think so, and I think that
what if Jerry Jones did it?
What if Jerry Jones did this?
Man, I'll tell you, I got that. But
to the public, what if Dan Snyder did this?
I think Dan Snyder did do it.
He did do it. So you're listening to Oscar's Take. Finally, Oscar, a woman who's been trying to get pregnant, went on Reddit to vent about a very dumb suggestion her husband came up with. She's 34, he's 37, and they've been struggling to conceive. So her younger sister, who's 30, recently offered to be their surrogate and carry the baby for them. But then the husband started looking into how much the whole IVF thing would cost and suggested he get her sister pregnant the old-fashioned way.
Classy.
He wants to boink her and doesn't get why that's a big deal. But his wife is not into it and won't even ask her sister if she's willing. She says that she'd freak out. Her husband got angry when she said no and claims it's just because he wants kids so bad. Sure.
Right.
So now she doesn't know what to do. A few people online think she should just divorce him. Others say skipping IVF isn't that crazy, but think they should go the turkey baster route. So everybody's got an opinion for this guy. He wants to do it the big chill way. Remember the big chill?
IVF, what, 10, 15K? A clip. I've looked into this. Not to say that we're looking into it, but I've looked into this. Depending on your medical coverage as well, certain medical coverage gives you a couple rounds, maybe at least one round of IVF. You got to look at that. The problem with this gentleman's, and you use that word loosely, tactic is he went in with the shock and awe and the mentality of a 16-year-old. No, maybe that's 16. That's creepy. 19-year-old boy.
Okay.
Where when you're 19 and all you can think about is like just, you know, getting your dick wet, you literally walk around and you're like, you know, I love you, but if you want to do a threesome and that's your thing, I'll do it. So it's kind of a throwaway.
Sure.
Bring her over, man.
Yeah,
bring her over.
Or one of my, she said, his girlfriend at the time says, my girlfriend thinks you're really cute. Okay, fine. If you want us to sleep with her together, we'll do it. Like, it's one of these, like, reverse psychology that only works if you're, like, in this 18 to 21-year-old and you're a hammered phase.
I get it.
And in love. Won't happen with someone you marry, especially with their loved one.
Yeah, and the sister.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Especially if the wife's saying the sister will freak out.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Yeah, that's too much. He went in with shock and awe.
Yeah.
Yes.
He should have just done it in secret.
I want her banger, man.
Yeah,
come
but the,
on.
If it does happen, Bill Gates says he likes to watch.
There you go. Through Windows 7.
Through Windows 7.
Oh, my God. That was a great Oscars take. We'll take a break. We have a big story coming up here.
Huge.
We have to dive in. Rob's all-time favorite of favorites. And, you know, you can be long since in the ground, and controversy still rears its ugly head or its little head. We'll be back with that when we come back. Thank you.
Oh, Billy.
Hello, parishioners. It's me, Uncle Baby Billy Freeman. I want to thank all of you that have supported me by purchasing my Baby Billy's Health Elixir. Blessings to all of you. But I've recently discovered something that's even more potent, and it's my God-given duty to tell you about it. It's the Michael Mara Show on TikTok. Beautiful, funny, spiritually uplifting, bite-sized clips of your favorite podcast. Perfect for yourself and for sharing with the congregation of your life. It's based on ancient scriptures and heals colds, flus, straps, even COVIDs. Just search TikTok for Michael Mara Show and follow. Follow us. Heal the spirit to heal the body. Michael Mara Show on TikTok. It's your salvation. Or my name isn't Walton Goggins. Baby Billy Freeman. Amen.
Baby Billy Freeman. Welcome back to the Michael Mara Show. Big news in shoes. Everyone at TMOS loves their Rothy's. Oscar got the RS01 sneakers. I got the driving loafers. Rob has the Chelsea boots. And you don't need to break them in. As soon as you put them on, their soft, flexible material and amazing insoles make them the most wearable shoes you can own. They are incredibly versatile. Wear them with a suit, a pair of sweatpants, or anything in between. I love them, and we got excited when we got these in, and they are really, really terrific shoes.
You are
going to love them. They're knit with 100% recycled materials. Even the sneaker laces are made from plastic water bottles. I love the way they make these shoes. And if dirty sneakers are a pet peeve, rest easy. Rothy's are 100% machine washable. No wonder Rothy's men's shoes get a 5-star review from almost every customer. If you're still feeling skeptical about shoes made from recycled plastic, then try this on for size. Rothy's is doing something special. They gave us the chance to share this super rare opportunity with our listeners. For a limited time, right now, you can get $20 off your first purchase at Rothy's.com/TMOS. Head to Rothy's.com/TMOS to snag a pair of men's or women's shoes for yourself or someone else. That's Rothy's.com/TMOS. And when we got the Rothy's account, Carla was like, Rothy's? Rothy's? You got Rothy's? My sister loves them.
Yes.
My wife loves them. Everybody loves Rothy's, and you will too. Welcome back to the show. Whoa. I share this to you from the pages of the New York Post. The new accusations of sexual assault and harassment made by two actresses who starred opposite comedy legend Jerry Lewis are no laughing matter.
Yes.
Two of the Nutty Professor's star leading ladies, Karen Sharp and Hope Holliday, make startling revelations in The Dark Side of a Hollywood Icon, a new bombshell documentary that dropped Wednesday, by Vanity Fair. I have the current issue. I have not read the entire article yet. One of the ladies is 87. The other one's 91.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show when you're being a perv, it doesn't matter whether you're underground or not and how old the ladies are. They can come forward. And I bet it was difficult even after all these years for these women to come out and talk about it.
Did you say there's a doc that's out?
It's a docu-series.
Wow.
No, I'm sorry. They were interviewed by Kirby Dick and Amy Ziering, the duo behind the controversial HBO docu-series Allen versus Pharaoh. And it says here they make startling revelations in The Dark Side of a Hollywood Icon. I don't know if it's an article or it's a documentary.
Wow.
And it dropped Wednesday. I'm not sure where it is, whether it's on HBO or not. We'll
find definitely find it, yeah.
And let me see. I think I have a clip of the one of the ladies here. So if we can turn the music down just a second here. Let's see if I've got that for you. I just got to move a couple of things around here.
I'm looking for
let's see. Oh, that's good. That sounded nice. Sorry about that. I should have prepared this, but I didn't.
No worries.
No, I can't play it. There you go. Thank you. I'll try to play it later in the show. But Rob, you've got information on it as well.
Yeah, it turns out it's a short documentary. It's not a full fledged one, but it happened on two different movies. And this to
On YouTube by Vanity Fair. You're absolutely right. Okay.
This to me is not all that shocking because Jerry and more people are coming out and talking about him now that he's dead. And you get the people that say, well, he was always nice to me. But the average person is that Jerry was a guy who loved to play mind games with people.
Yeah.
Like he would be your very, very best friend and then not return your phone calls.
Manipulating.
Yeah, he was a manipulative guy. So the first thing they mention is on the set of the Disorderly Orderly, one of Jerry's Paramount pictures, a big, big hit. And this is Karen Sharp, who is now 87, who met him. He says, and this is a quote from her. He grabbed me. He cornered her in a dressing room. He grabbed me. He began to fondle me. He unzipped his pants. Quite frankly, I was dumbstruck.
Oh, I got it. Hold on. I think you got it.
And out comes the, and next thing he's f***ing off in front of me.
Wow. That was the quote from one of the ladies. That was really worth all that effort. Yeah.
No, I didn't expect that.
I didn't expect that either.
Yeah. Two of his leading ladies have accused the comedy legend of assault and harassment. I am frankly, when did Jerry pass, Rob? When did he pass away? Do you know?
Seems to me like it was
a decade ago.
No, I think it was like 5 or 6 years ago. I'll get the exact date.
So pre-Me Too, right?
Yeah.
Pre-Cosby, right?
Yeah, and post Rob's computer.
Well, yeah, certainly, but everything is post my computer.
Coincidence. Wow. It's just a wow. That, and by the way, this lady whose name is Karen Sharp, she's a Golden Globe winner.
Yeah.
And she, you know, she was 1964 and when they were in the Disorderly. And she held her own opposite some heavyweights like John Wayne, Clint Eastwood. And at first, she said she couldn't process what was happening to her. You know, what are your, I got to go to the number one fan.
How do you feel about this? He's your hero.
I hate it. I hate the fact that this is coming out, but it doesn't surprise me because I know that he was a complicated, very messed up guy deep down in the inner government, as he said. And here is the part of this story that doesn't shock me at all, is that after she, you know, walked out on him or turned down this as he's pleasuring himself in front of her, of course, she's going to do that. She said that Sharp said she was later subjugated to Lewis's famous cruel streak, and he instructed the entire cast of the Disorderly Orderly, not to speak to her for the duration of the shoot. And when she showed up for work the next day,
I know you're reading the story, but I'm curious.
She was only allowed to interact with the assistant director. That's it.
In all of your following of Jerry Lewis and the telethon and all of that, did you ever? Was there any story about him being, you know, a little bit, you've read everything about him and all his bios.
You have the guy's pants.
Was he a horn doggy?
He was a horn doggy especially in the Martin and Lewis days. I think he settled down later on, but he.
And Dean Martin was not, right? I mean, everything you read about Dean Martin back in those days is that he was the one that all the women lusted after, but he was a very kind of, not a gregarious guy. When he'd be off stage, he'd go back to his hotel. He wasn't nearly as bad.
Dean would just get married over and over and over again. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, how many times did Dean Martin get married?
I think three
marriages.
But Jerry was a horn dog. And then there's another thing that's weird that just came out, and I hadn't even brought this up. I found out about it like maybe 2 or 3 months ago. At an auction site, I think it might have been Sotheby's.
Sotheby's?
Jerry's driver or assistant put up some black and white photos, obviously posed, of Jerry and Dean naked in a shower together, which is really, really weird. And you can bring them up on...
Tell me more.
You can bring them up on, if you Google them, most of them are blurred out, but the actual photos are not blurred out. Mm-hmm. And they're just... And he tried to say, these are just two friends... having a good time in the shower. But then I got to thinking.
Oh, my God.
Right? Right?
Why are you waiting to bring this up now? This is wild.
Wow. And so, and then
my God. And by the way, when you Google Jerry and Dean naked, I've got a page full of.
But here's the thing.
Oh, my God.
It's not like they're selfies because it's back in the 1940s.
Yeah, they pose.
There was a guy with them. Jerry's touching himself.
Yes, he is. So, I mean, there's obviously this stuff is coming out now.
Maybe you
wow, Dean. How about that? Wow. How about Dino?
Is this is this a Hugh Hefner situation that you just you're so inundated with, you know, because of stardom or you're just a creep or whatever it may be that you're just like you have to try new things?
Maybe. It's hard to say. Yeah. I mean, hard to really figure out. And also, Jerry went to
Good for them. Good. Not the salts, hey, but if they want to try new things.
Good for you. Good for you. There are a lot of, there have been allegations through the years that Jerry liked Dean more than Dean liked Jerry, if you catch my meaning.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's awfully, these shots are very interesting.
Yeah, they're provocative, are they not?
They're not provocative, but they're naked.
They are naked.
They're
together.
Sitting there. They're naked.
And isn't it creepy how casual it is?
Yeah. Oh no!
No! Everybody has a computer. You can.
Someone's comfortable.
Right. Yeah. That's. Oh my god.
Pony, please get mine up and running so I can look at the phone.
Pony, don't look at it. Don't look at it.
All right, we'll wrap. We got to take a break. We'll wrap this up when we come back. This is. I'm sorry. Where did that? How long you sat on that one?
A couple months. I didn't. You know, I was.
He's protecting his hero.
No, I wasn't protecting.
He does.
I wasn't thinking I was protecting him. It was that just the this works hand in hand with both stories, I thought.
Kind of makes sense.
Yeah, that, yeah.
They're perverts.
We'll be right back. God.
The Mike O'Mara Show.
Probably have a couple beers.
TMOS.
2, 3, 4.
A full-bodied podcast.
Sometimes wine.
With earthy tones of pop culture and a bouquet of comedy, wit, and sarcasm.
Do you drink every night, Pony?
Yeah. I'll have a martini about 5 o'clock.
The Mike O'Mara Show.
Sometimes 4 to 6 beers.
A drinking show.
4 or 5 drinks.
With a radio problem.
How am I alive?
Watch the live feed weekdays at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Or download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Liquid IV. There is no better time than right now to make sure you're feeling like your best self. I'm going to tell you about, I want to talk about taste. I want to talk about the flavor. Because, listen, I talk about Liquid IV and I talk about the CTT, cellular transport technology that actually really gets you more hydrated just by drinking 16 ounces of water. It hydrates faster with Liquid IV and more efficiently than water alone. Plus, they've got incredible hydration flavors. I'm absolutely in love with their strawberry flavor. I believe that this is showing popularity all over the nation. They've got great flavors, watermelon, lemon lime, grape, pina colada. But the strawberry, I can't tell you how much I truly, truly love this flavor. And it makes it so, so easy when I'm down here in West South Florida to hydrate my butt off.
Yes.
The CTT is the optimal ratio of glucose, sodium, and potassium to deliver water and nutrients to the bloodstream. But man, I don't think about anything else when I'm drinking my strawberry liquid.
The thing
IV.
Is, so, and we've Fantastic. Discussed this for years, the length of the podcast, you really hate water. You don't like to drink water.
I don't like the flavor of water. A lot of people don't.
Right.
And this is just so, when you can multiply, especially when you're doing activities outside,
yes.
when you can multiply your water intake, it's great. Let me tell you what they're also doing. Liquid IV is out to change the world by donating to hospitals, first responders, veterans, and active military. Liquid IV has donated over 19 million servings globally. Grab Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco. You can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code TMOS. That's the way we'd like you to buy it. You can do that at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you use promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. Experience better hydration today at liquidiv.com, promo code TMOS. And thank you to everybody at Liquid IV.
Great okay, partner.
I you know, it's where do you line up on the posthumous outing of someone where there is a school of thought that will say, well, there's absolutely no way the man has to defend himself when you talk about Jerry Lewis. You know, you got two women that
this
have come
true.
Forward. You know, as far as it just seems to me in this particular circumstance to be in your upper 80s to early 90s and you still come forward with this, I would think it was a bad experience.
The landscape has allowed... Because so many brave women have come forward.
Right? I agree. And I think that these people from Vanity Fair that have experience in covering similar stories.
And sourcing and knowing how to do that.
I won't say they pressured them, but they allowed the opportunity for them to tell their story and probably opened the door for them
but
to do it.
It wouldn't be pressured.
That's why I said I wouldn't say pressure.
It would
allow them to do it.
So let's be fair here. I get it, Mike. You're talking about both sides where the gentleman doesn't have... Jerry doesn't have an opportunity to defend himself. Though, what is there to gain at that age?
That's the point.
80, 90, where you've had a glorious career.
Probably a peaceful life or a good life. Yes. There's no reason to put yourself out there. Maybe you want closure before it's time to say goodbye.
Yes.
And if you're harboring a grudge for many years against someone who did something so horrible to you.
Your word usage, and I know you don't mean to do this, but harboring a grudge and being a, if you're a victim, is two different things. You're not harboring a grudge. They were victims.
I understand this, Oscar, but what I'm saying, okay, then maybe I did choose a bad word. If they have unresolved feelings, something that's been bothering them, something that they have against Jerry for all these years.
If they were victimized.
If they
were
victimized.
Unresolved feelings means that they are like, there's something wrong. If they were victimized, which it seems they were.
Okay. So maybe they feel they need to get it out. And if that's the case. And here's the thing. As the biggest Jerry Lewis fan you'll probably ever meet, someone who loves the weirdness of Jerry as much as I think that he was also very, very funny and very, very talented at times, all of this adds up to me. I don't see any reason to think any of this would not be true.
The closest thing I have is Michael Jackson to this.
I understand.
I'll sometimes forget about like what happened, not because I'm being disrespectful to the victims, but
you hear a song on the radio.
A song, you're like, oh, and then you're like, oh.
Yeah, it's tainted.
I can't.
If any of the allegations, and I don't have any reason to doubt the two women coming forward.
I don't
simply
either.
Because of the age. Not just the horn doggy. What an abysmal prick.
Creep.
What an absolute monster. Not only did he do this, which was completely unacceptable during any decade, but to shut down, to go to the producers, as one of these women alleges, and tell
mind
them,
games.
You know, to not speak to her, to completely shut her down. You know, and here's the way I always feel about celebrities in this situation. We put our celebrities on such a pedestal here that I think an individual who is, you know, has questionable morals will take full advantage, as Jerry did, of being a big star. And
this isn't an office romance.
No, this is disgusting.
It's just completely different.
This is a megalomaniac at the highest level using. He was hungry for power. He was at his most powerful when these two incidents are described, because he really had Paramount. He really had them where he wanted them because he was such a moneymaker. And so he seized the power. He got the power, and he used the power against people that were powerless.
This is not this playbook and the leverage that, I mean, we've seen
Weinstein
this.
Weinstein playbook.
Yeah, we've seen this, you know, with
The Cosby
Matt
playbook.
Lauer.
Matt Lauer playbook.
Yeah.
They had a star. Yeah. They had to pay people off. Mm-hmm. They wanted to move on.
It's kind of getting being able to think they can get away with it. And obviously, while he was alive, he did get away with that. And here's what you look for. And I know he's old, and I know he's dead, and the women are old. But what you look for right now is, I'm going to ask you to do a little math before
okay.
we break.
All right.
I want you to do a little math, Rob, for me. All right. So if Jerry was alive, he would be 100-something, wouldn't he,
I believe you're right about,
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's say Jerry is 45.
Okay.
All right. And so Jerry at 45 is probably going to, the starlets are going to be like 23, 22, 24.
He was 40 when this stuff was going down. 38 and 40 when this stuff was going down.
Okay, so the women are close to his age then, right?
I would say probably younger.
Well, figure it out. Okay. I mean, that's why I'm asking you to do your numbers thing on this. I'm thinking the actual my point is, with all of these stories, there's only one thing that you wait for after the big break.
Jerry would be 96 now.
Jerry would be 96, and the women, so
younger.
He is a little bit older.
Yeah, a little bit.
They were 4 years younger than him. Yeah. There are other women that he performed with, I'm sure, that are much younger.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now we wait to see
what other stories.
Because if a guy is behaving like this, if he's locking a door and he's whipping it out, this goes to Harvey Weinstein, Matt Lauer, Louis C.K. Mm-hmm. There will be other examples of this coming forward.
You're right.
Jerry, unfortunately, though, because of the time that's passed and he's been gone for so long, song. This made a splash, but not an insane splash, right?
Well, no. His celebrity, like so many, has aged out. He's not a big deal to people anymore.
Yeah, that's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens with this. But
where do the quarters go that I give at the 7-Eleven?
You never know. You never, never know.
They still do that?
No.
I'll be very curious to see.
Back to the age of my computer.
Do you think, has there been anything following the big breaking story? Has the family come out or anything?
No, and it's not made the splash that it should have.
Well, we're in the middle of a global conflict.
Yeah, but still, I mean, as far as a human interest celebrity story, this is
we're
still
talking
a big
about
one.
It now. It came out February 24th in the New York Post. Yeah. So, I mean, that's how it's been a month.
And we should thank Reed Galen for giving us the hot tip. So, for that.
I love that Reed found something that.
They didn't cover this on the Lincoln Project?
That Rob loves, and he knew that he sent it to the right people because he sent it to me, and he sent it to Rob Ford, and he CC'd Rob Spiewak on it, where I said, this man knows the way to my heart. How can we destroy something that Rob Spiewak loves?
The initial reply.
This will be in the book, The Cruelty of Oscar. And it'll be, how can we destroy something that Rob loves so much? Rob loves the celebrities in spite of their foibles.
Correct.
Well,
Jerry's been on a different level.
Yeah, there's always been the complicated relationship of disgusting, slimy Jerry, showbiz Jerry, and funny Jerry. This is a new level. This is not anything that I've dealt with.
Yeah.
But also,
of course, you loved Elvis, and you still love Elvis, and he was a scummy guy, too.
Sure.
But, there's the scummy factor. I love Buddy Rich. Buddy Rich is known to be one of the biggest pricks in show business. And I still love him because he's such a great drummer.
The thing that Oscar is so cruel about is that I was actually driving home when this text came over from Reed. And all I see is headline. I'll read the headline. Jerry Lewis accused of sexual misconduct and bombshell report. And not more than 8 seconds later, Oscar replies, I knew it.
You knew it all.
Such a
along.
Dick.
Wow. Yeah. Well, for those brave ladies that came forward, hopefully some closure on this by simply venting and outing this guy for an injustice. And you live with that your whole life.
Just the beginning.
It's just, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see, but we'll see how much weight because of the fading star factor,
right? It's not them, it's their granddaughters or their daughters saying, didn't you work with Jerry? Meemaw, and that's when
Meemaw
sounded funny. We have to take a break.
Why is
Meemaw? Didn't you work with your?
I don't want to talk about it.
Meanwhile, the grandchild is 70.
It's true. It's a little long in the tooth. Oh man, never forget. Remember that. We'll take a break, and we will come back with Soundtown. How are you doing? Are you okay now? Are you all right now that that's out?
I'll look at the black and white pictures tonight. It'll be fun.
Thank you.
Hi, folks. It's aging television heartthrob Tom Selleck. Back in the 80s, I played a Hawaiian detective on Magnum PI. Look, this isn't my first rodeo, and let me tell you something. I wouldn't be here today if I thought the Mike O'Mara bonus show took advantage of any American podcast listener. Or worse, that it was some kind of way to take your home. That would help my kid, and I'd sell my own grandmother for a hot lunch. No, a Mike O'Mara bonus show subscription isn't some kind of trick to take away your home. In fact, it's quite affordable. I mean, I can't afford that kind of thing anymore, but surely you can. After all, this is how Mike, Rob, and Oscar try to feed their families. Go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and start your subscription today, won't you? Look, I'm proud to be part of the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show family. I trust them, and I think you can too. The other thing people always ask me is if I banged Courtney Cox when I was on Friends. Yes. Yes, I did. And I think you could too.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Still laugh at that. And I think you could too. Cryptocurrency might feel like a super secret club, but Coinbase believes that everyone everywhere should be able to get in the door. Whether you've been trading for years or just getting started, Coinbase makes learning to buy and sell simple. Coinbase offers a trusted and easy-to-use platform to buy, sell, and spend cryptocurrency. Plus, they support the most popular digital currencies on the market, and they make them accessible to everyone. They offer portfolio management and protection, learning resources, and a mobile app, so you can trade securely, and you can monitor your crypto, and you can do it all in one place. Millions of people in over 100 countries trust Coinbase with their digital assets. So, if you're looking to diversify or just getting started, visit the website and check it out. It's a great time to start. For a limited time, new users can get $10 in free Bitcoin when they sign up today. $10 in free Bitcoin. Sign up today at coinbase.com/TMOS. That's coinbase.com/TMOS for $10 in free Bitcoin. This offer is for a limited time only, so be sure to sign up today. That's coinbase.com/TMOS. And thank you, Coinbase, for sponsoring our show. We truly like that. Now, before I do this, I have to do this because I forgot to do
it. You got to do it. Do the thing. Do the thing.
Sometimes when we're searching for information, we forget to do
infotainment, the stuff. Mike. That's what we do.
Right. What's that sound?
What a sound.
Did you hear that?
Make some noise.
Sound town.
Mike, you live in Florida.
No, I don't.
Okay. Mike, you don't live in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
But good. Oscar used to not live in Arizona.
True.
Arizona sometimes, we give Florida a lot of grief. I think Arizona might be Florida light sometimes.
It's the sun.
Yeah. Oh, you can walk down a street in Arizona in certain areas, people packing a sidearm. You get some crazies there. It happens. Yeah, there's
it's the
meth factor.
Okay,
absolutely.
So let's go to Glendale, Arizona, Mike. Yes. If you leave your kid at daycare, you think they're probably safe, right?
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you have this story.
This is, you know, if you drop your kid off, you drop your toddler off at Happy Days Daycare.
There
and that's
is.
D-A-Z-E Daycare in Glendale, Arizona. You don't think they're going to leave the gate open.
Right.
A lady's driving down the street in the middle of the highway. Policemen estimate there were 6 to 8 toddlers that had escaped daycare and were walking around the road.
There were toddlers running into the road, and I started just wrangling kids up and herding them up and picking them up and getting them out of the road, getting them onto the grass. I didn't know. I was just shocked. I didn't, you know, are these kids part of the daycare? Like, who's watching these kids if they are from the daycare? How did they get out?
Credits to this lady who lives in Arizona who says, are these kids part of the daycare or are they just toddlers that are walking in the street?
Yeah,
it was amazing. They just, I guess the daycare gate is very close to the main drag, a very trafficy main drag, and they just wandered out. Who is the criminally negligent person involved with this? I hope they locked them up. I really do.
Yeah, when you... When you live on a busy road, you don't want your kids actually playing in the front yard.
Of course not.
Right. Let alone.
You know, I heard a rumor. Heard a rumor that when they finally got all the kids wrangled back into the daycare, shut the gate, and when they went into the supervisor's office, the supervisor was looking at naked pictures of Jerry and Dean.
Yes, he was.
And when they Googled naked Jerry and Dean, they got a bunch of other boners.
Yeah, exactly.
I did.
That was a strange twist.
But when you say boner, you mean mistake.
Yes, boners, like, bloops, and blunders.
Like the old days, right?
That's right, Rob.
Mike, I know you're the biggest baseball fan I know, and MLB just makes it easier and easier to love them, don't they?
Yes. I hate the owners. I hate baseball. I'm done. This time I'm over for it. I'm so frustrated with this. Yeah. Such a great pastime.
Lockout.
It's such a great sport. My kid, I'm going to Little League tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure that hasn't been canceled?
You know, the greed. It's greed.
Opening day has been canceled.
And you're ruining it again.
Opening day has been canceled. Several games have already been canceled. Here is the baseball commissioner. Do you know his name, Mike?
No, I don't.
Rob Manfred, saying that opening day is canceled and saying, oh, he's sad about it.
If it was solely within my ability or the ability of the clubs to get an agreement, we'd have an agreement. Tough thing about this process is it takes both parties to make an agreement. I'm really disappointed that we didn't make an agreement, and I'm really committed to doing everything possible to get one.
Yeah, he's committed, Mike. He is.
It's sad for the sport.
Nobody cares, by the way.
But meanwhile,
whether it's the owners or the players,
but the purists, the fans care, but they don't care enough. And this is, we talk about this all the time, the switching costs.
Right.
Where else can you go? There's so much entertainment that there's no buzz about this outside of the sports world.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Has anyone come to you and said, oh, wish I could go to a Red Sox game, but just
not
can't.
A one. They did it. They blew it the first time. The series of lockouts that they've had over this, because the owners, I have to side with the players.
Of course.
Yeah,
well, Mike, while you say that, here's the rep for the players. His name is Tony Clark, talking about the same thing.
Players want to play. We all know that. But the reason we're not playing is simple. A lockout is the ultimate economic weapon. In a $10 billion industry, the owners have made a conscious decision to use this weapon against the greatest asset they have, the players. But the group won't be intimidated, and they are focused on improving the rights and benefits for today's generation of player and for the generations to come.
And I buy into it. Now, do the elite athletes get tons of cash at the top of the heap? Yeah, the top of the heap in every major league sport has always gotten the money. Always. Sure. Hockey, baseball, basketball, all of it. This is just a question. These guys that are out doing this for, in most cases, less than a decade to make their money, to make their earning power, give them a break. Let them have a livable wage. Support them when they're done. Give them a pension. They offer an awful lot. And the greed factor is going to, you know, look, it almost totally tanked baseball the first time. It's not going to do anything but hurt it. Maybe fatally again. It sucks. And down here for the economic engine that we rely on in my hometown now of Fort Myers, Florida, where you have the Minnesota Twins and the Boston Red Sox, and you know people that rely on that income down here and the restaurants. I mean, well, the restaurants are doing fine, but I'm talking about the seniors in many cases that have to get out there and not just volunteer, but work at the stadium. It just sucks. It really, really sucks.
So you're out?
You know what? I hope they resolve it quickly. I was looking forward to taking Michael to a spring training game, one spring training game this season. It sucks. It's just such greed. I haven't, but as Oscar said, am I so engaged that I've been reading up on it? Nah,
no.
Could care less.
No. All right, here's some good news. I like this. A salute, a tip of the Michael Mara Show cap to the band Smash Mouth. They had the song All Star, which was a good song, and a few good hits.
Of course.
Last year, their lead singer had some... their lead singer had to retire because of health issues, so they were lead singerless. A guy wrote them an email. He says, if you want a guy with tattoos and a dad bod to take over, give me a try. So he drives in, and they say, yeah, you're good. So Smash Mouth now has a new lead singer, and they're going to resume touring. But here's what's funny. They say, here's our new single, and they Rickrolled the entire country. I just want to tell you how I'm feeling.
Gotta make you understand. Never gonna give you up. Rickroll. I've never heard that expression.
Oh, you're kidding.
It's just doing the Rick Astley song. That's
what
when you
do
Rickroll?
Is you send a link to someone that you say it's something. Like, if I were to say, I've got a great new Jerry Lewis clip I want you to watch, and you click it, and it's the Rick Astley video for Never Gonna Give You
Up. It's called Rickrolling?
It's calling a Rickroll somebody. Right, yeah, so they Rickrolled the entire country by doing their own thing, which I thought was very funny. I think, you know what, for a band that has three hits, I like them.
Yeah, and look, if they're not going to get pub or headlines... It's I remember hearing this when he originally was losing his voice.
Yeah, it was like a year ago or so.
I always felt like it was interesting. I was at the VMAs when Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera kissed on stage.
Right,
I was there in the audience way back, but I was there.
He was supposed to be the one they kissed.
And and Madonna was on stage as well.
Madonna.
And we were in the hall, and... there's an artist, his name was Uncle Cracker.
I remember Uncle Cracker.
And Uncle Cracker looked like he was a doppelganger from afar to the Smash Mouth lead singer.
What was the 90s? Everyone looked alike.
Yeah. And I remember the DJ I was with went up to the Smash, and I wish I had his name, I just don't have it. But it was funny because I'm there, I'm like a young buck, you know, in the shadows waiting for him to say, go get me a drink, son, so I could scurry over. And he's like, do you want to go meet Uncle Cracker? And I said, oh, yes, I want to meet Uncle Cracker. And we walked up to the Smash Mouth lead singer.
Oh, no.
And he goes, and he started rattling off all these hits that we were spinning on WHFS. And he goes, thanks, man. I'm a fan of his, too. And I sat there as I watched the gentleman I was with, I will not out, not process this, but I caught it right away because I was like, this is the different hefty white guy.
Wrong guy.
So as we sat there in this
like, and he thought that the lead singer of Smash Mouth was Uncle Cracker.
Yes.
Ooh. It also could have been Guy Fieri.
Do you know I played golf with a very, very prominent former coach in the in professional hockey?
Yes.
And I didn't make the connection. Oh. And so, but I did hear he was from Canada. I said, where are you from Canada? I said, oh, do you play hockey? He said, some. Guy walks up to me the other day. You know, you play the guy like 11 seasons in the NHL, coach this team in the NHL, this team in the NHL. I'm like, so I apologized to him yesterday.
Yeah.
He was cool about it, but it was you know, it happens all the
but
time.
But those guys.
But you should have been a little more forthright. Said, what have you done lately?
That's
I said, are you Uncle Cracker?
Mike, today is not Man Watchers Compliment Week. Today,
Man Watchers Compliment Week.
But it is National Cold Cut Day. So enjoy a sandwich. I'd like to close with this. Here's a clip from a very funny comic who also looks like Uncle Cracker. His name is Jim Dunn.
My wife got a new car and I'm not supposed to eat in it, but I do. Yeah, because she's got the heated seats and you can use those to warm up what you're going to eat. You ever try that? You take like a regular ham and cheese sandwich, sit on that for like 7 miles. Try it and make sure you're wearing a corduroys. Get the little grooves in it. Make yourself a nice little panini sandwich on your way home from work. Yeah,
yeah, you want to get those burn marks in there, Mike. That's all I got.
Now leaving SoundCloud. Please come again.
Remember, Bill Gates, look through window number 7.
Number 7.
Your line of the day.
Thank you.
You did it. That's fantastic. We will be back with a bonus show. If you've not subscribed to the bonus show, tomorrow I will reveal a very, very deep, dark secret about me and my life and my world.
Wow.
And you're not going to want to miss it. No, I made it up. Just subscribe to the bonus show. Okay?
Tomorrow on the bonus show, black and white pictures of me and Mike in the shower.
And also, Rob's got 11 ways to detect a liar.
Ooh. Right away.
Could've used this.
We need that on this show. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Meara is saying, so long, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Meara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MearaShow.com.
Mike O'Meara, Radio Entertainment.
You're playing golf and you're going to like it.
What about my asthma?
I'll give you asthma.
Sayonara, sucker.
Wow.
It's in the hole!
I'm a phony, just like you.